You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern at 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and College Hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at LockedOnBulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShibles, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. We do mailbag every single Wednesday, so that's tomorrow's episode. Hit us up with your text messages, your voicemails. We want to hear from you. That's 331-979-1369. So on today's episode, we've got a couple things for you. First and foremost, we've got our interview with Bobby Portis from this weekend from our event, Bowling with Bobby Portis. So we've got that for you at the back end of the episode. A pretty good conversation with Bobby, too. Little insights to who he is, what he's thinking as far as expectations for this season, and so much more. But the more important and pressing news here, Matt, that I think we've got to get to first is this whole entire assemblation of the old Bulls by Tom Thibodeau, and now he has not doubled down, tripled down, quadrupled down on the idea of bringing back the early 2010 Bulls, including a signing of Luol Deng. But first, how you doing, Matt? What's going on?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Yeah, it's pretty funny. I think I touched on this when the initial reports came out on our episode last Monday. I think you were out. I think I did a solo, and there were original rumors and reports that the Minnesota Timberwolves were interested in not only Deng, but also Joakim Noah, who hasn't finished his buyout with the Knicks yet, but that is expected to be coming fairly soon. And it's at least, you know, at least one of them, it's now official. Deng signing with Minnesota on 1 year, $2.4 million contract. He's still going to make a buttload of money from his Lakers buyout this season, but a very modest one-year deal with Minnesota. At first, the idea of the Timber Bulls was basically just Tibbs reuniting with his buddy Jimmy, his workhorse, you know, getting him in that trade and then also signing Taj Gibson in free agency to add on to that. And then, oh, wait, Derrick Rose got traded away from Cleveland midseason and then was let go and was not on a roster. And Tibbs said, I can use that guy. I can use Derrick. And Derek actually saw some pretty solid effective minutes in their one playoff series against Houston, only five games. But so, of course, with Luol Deng expected to be parting ways from the Lakers and Joakim expected to be parting ways with the Knicks, jokes were running all summer long that it was only a matter of time until Tibbs added on more of his former guys. And look, I don't think that this is entirely crazy. Like, Luol Deng is coming off of a season where I think he only played one game for the Lakers last season, but it wasn't because of injury. He was healthy, but just not playing because he, after the initial signing in 2016, quickly turned out to be not a long-term part of their plan. And they wanted to get some of their younger guys minutes. So Luol Deng was basically just sitting and healthy. Yes, he's 33 years old. Yes, he has a lot of miles on his legs. But I think he can be a quality veteran leader for this team that is still lacking in veteran leadership. Jimmy, as we've discussed before, whether it was with the Bulls, his tenure in Chicago, or now in Minnesota for a year, is not really a guy who seems to be doing great in that role as veteran leader. Having a tough time relating to and getting along with the younger guys like Wiggins and Towns on his T-Wolves team. Deng was always the leader in Chicago. Deng is the guy that tutored and mentored Jimmy when Jimmy was young and coming up. And I think Deng can still be a valuable piece for them as a two-way player at the wing, where the Wolves are kind of shallow at that spot. They have Wiggins, but other than that, like, what's that dude, James Nunnally or whatever? Is there only other legitimate small forward on their roster? Like, I think that Luol Deng, if he's happy and content playing a bench role, everybody's making jokes about, like, oh, like, here comes Tibbs, he's going to play Deng 40 minutes a night. No, I don't see that happening. But I think that Deng can be a valuable veteran bench player for
them.
My
question, though, is what's Tom Thibodeau's end game here? Like, what's the point of this? Because, yeah, it's nice on paper to say that Luol Deng and maybe Joakim Noah will help you as far as your leadership in your locker room goes, but I can't imagine that you've got high expectations for productivity for either of those guys. And you're talking about assembling a bench unit that could be brittled by injuries. Like, you're hoping that Joakim Noah stays healthy if he does sign with the Timberwolves, which it kind of sounds like it. And also, by the way, Bobby Portis tweeted out a sources Joakim Noah to the Timberwolves confirmed last night.
I saw that.
So between that, but Luol Deng hasn't played in a game in, what, 2 years? And if that, he hasn't played in over 10 games in 2 years, 3 years. Like, what kind of productivity are you going to get out of those guys? And to me, if you're Karl-Anthony Towns or Andrew Wiggins, how are you looking at this and saying, okay, this is a good idea, I think we're going to be pretty decent in the West? Like, think about that, too. You're going up against all those Western Conference teams that are on the come up and have strength in numbers as far as their second unit, and Tom Thibodeau's trying to relive the old Bulls days, and I just can't see it working. I can't see it working, and I can only see it pissing off guys like Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns. Is this like one last ploy to maybe convince Jimmy Butler to stay in Minnesota long-term?
I don't necessarily know about that. I don't know if it's about convincing Jimmy to stay. And honestly, I don't know what Tibbs can do to convince Jimmy to stay. I don't think he's in love with, you know, signing a long-term deal to stay in Minneapolis. I think Jimmy has at least one of his eyes out west and going to play with LeBron in L.A. because Jimmy likes L.A. Jimmy's Hollywood now. And playing with LeBron, even an aging LeBron, probably gives Jimmy much better odds at getting himself a ring than playing with Wiggins and Towns in Minnesota. I understand your skepticism. And look, I'm not saying that adding Luol Deng is going to make a huge, you know, movement of the needle for the Timberwolves as far as where they finished last season and what they might do this season. They barely scraped in as the eighth seed in the West last year, and they needed a win on the final night of the regular season to do it. And yeah, they missed Jimmy for a good chunk of games, so maybe if Jimmy has a fully healthy season, they have a few more wins. Because there was a stretch earlier on when Jimmy was looking like a legit MVP candidate, and the Timberwolves were like the 3 or the 4 seed. And then, of course, with Jimmy, they struggled for a while down the stretch. I'm just saying, I think that Luol Deng can still play. I don't think he can play 40 minutes a night, which is the recurring joke among Bulls fans and Timberwolves fans on Twitter right now. But I think he can be a quality veteran leader in the locker room and a quality veteran wing that they need off the bench, giving them, you know, 10 to 15 points a night. I think Luol Deng can do that, and the guy can still play some defense. He's not as quick as he was in his youth, but the dude's going to try on defense, and that's something that this Timberwolves team, even with Tibbs leading them, has struggled with in their couple of seasons with Tibbs at the
helm. I just got to go back and scratch my head, man. Like, I just don't understand what Tom Thibodeau is trying to do here. I get it, trying to piecemeal together a team for one season, but you've got two major decisions next offseason, and whether or not you can convince Butler to stay, which, like you said, I think I'm in agreement with you. It's probably L.A. or New York for Jimmy Butler, or Brooklyn. Like, I don't see him staying in a small market like
and
Minnesota.
Honestly, I mean, like, if Tibbs is wanting to keep this Minnesota job and keep them as competitors going on, I know that, you know, Jimmy's his guy and his workhorse, but who do you think Tibbs would rather have stay long term, Jimmy or Towns? Because to me, the answer is pretty clearly Karl Anthony Towns. Jimmy's old and got a lot of miles on his legs. Like, signing Butler to a new long-term deal doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me if I'm Tom Thibodeau and the T-Wolves.
Yeah, and I'm curious to know if Karl Anthony Towns wants to stay in Minnesota long-term. You know, you heard kind of the back and forth that he was frustrated with the coaching staff and he was frustrated with Tom Thibodeau towards the end of the season and not necessarily being his team. And you know how Jimmy came in the first couple of months, things weren't working under Karl Anthony Towns' leadership. And so Jimmy kind of took that role over. But I don't know if that fares necessarily well with Karl Anthony Towns. And okay, if Jimmy leaves in 2019, you're really going to sign up to stay in Minnesota for five more years with Andrew Wiggins, who might not be an answer there? Like, to me, there's a huge question about that, too, with Karl Anthony Towns. So I think it's two major moves that Tom Thibodeau has on his plate. And if things don't go well, I could see them shopping Jimmy Butler at the trade deadline. Not to say that anybody would really make a move for a couple months for him, but you'd have to be giving up a ton.
No, unless it's the team that they would be convinced that they could get him to sign on a new contract.
So like the
summer.
Lakers and...
Like the Lakers. If the Lakers are on the bubble and maybe somewhere around the 7th or 8th seed, or maybe the 9th seed, but only a game or two out come the deadline, and LeBron's sitting there saying, hey, whatever you need to do to make this work, go get me Jimmy Butler. Get me Jimmy Butler, and we can make a playoff run. And we could probably convince Jimmy to stay next summer. Like, that is a scenario that I could see being played out. And I think you're right, that if the Timberwolves are struggling, they might look to deal Butler. And it'll look bad on Tibbs' part as not only the coach, but the president of basketball ops, as the guy who decided he needed Butler last summer and gave up, you know, early mid lottery pick swapped for a late lottery pick, or I guess, you know, back end not lottery pick, and two of their young core pieces. Like, you know, if they were ready to part with LaVine and Dunn and didn't really believe in their future as a part of these young Timberwolves, that's one thing. But if you traded both of them away and sacrificed your odds of getting a guy like Markkanen, I mean, can you imagine a Towns Markkanen front court? That's pretty cool. They could have had that. Instead, they decided to get Butler. And what if all it amounts to is a season and a half of Jimmy, where they are one-and-done, bounced in the first-round playoff seed, and then in year two, not even a playoff team at all? That would look really, really bad.
And Tom Thibodeau, this is only his second season, too. And it sounds, just from what we're reading from Timberwolves fans from Twitter, and it seems like we hear from them a lot, too, just because of the connection here in Chicago. But it already seems like this is kind of growing tiresome on Timberwolves fans as far as the revitalizing this old Bulls team. And a lot of Timberwolves fans just don't see it as it working. And it's kind of fraying relationships with the guys that are supposed to be staples on this team. Look, I think Timberwolves fans understand that Jimmy may not stay in Minnesota, and that's okay. But it sounds like Timberwolves fans want to get something for him. So at a trade deadline, maybe you can come up with a deal with the Lakers where he'll sign an extension to go to the Lakers. But if I'm the Lakers, why would I do that? So it puts you in a situation where you're looking at this team and saying, how close could Tom Thibodeau, if things blow up with this team next year and they're not, and this season coming up and they're not good, does that put Tom Thibodeau on the hot seat, you think, as far as maybe getting fired or at least having to give up the basketball operations side of the team and just stay as a coach? Like, what do you see there if things don't go right this season for them?
Absolutely, he could be on the hot seat. I mean, the staple of what made Tibbs a successful coach in Chicago and also a very valuable assistant coach in a lot of different places before he got his first head coaching job with the Bulls, is the fact that he was a defensive-minded coach who could construct elite defensive teams. And that's what the Bulls were in his tenure. They were not a very creative offensive team. the season that was their most successful was one in which a very young Derrick Rose became an athletic offensive sensation and the MVP of the league. And they had complementary pieces around him, Boozer, Dang, that could do enough offensively that with their elite defense, the Bulls could win most nights. But because of the way that the league has kind of changed in recent years, there's a lot of talk that Tibbs is kind of behind the times a little bit. Like, he's not a very creative offensive coach, and people are questioning just how great his defensive schemes are when it comes to adapting to the new way that teams are playing, because the Timberwolves have been pretty atrocious defensively in his first few years there. And look, he doesn't have the same defensive talent that he had with the Bulls, but I mean, it's a pretty drastic difference. So he's no longer giving you that elite defensive production, and he's never been a great offensive mind. If the Timberwolves in that, I mean, it kind of, it's unfortunate that the competition in the West is just getting harder and harder and harder. No, you know, no break for him there. But I'm sorry, it is what it is. If the Timberwolves don't make the playoffs this season, I could easily see Tibbs getting the boot. Not just, you know, okay, you're no longer doing both of these jobs, that's too much, we'll let you coach. They might just kick him out of town. They'd have to pay him for the back end of that contract.
But if it means saving Karl Anthony Towns as far as your extension goes, that might be a decision that they're going to have to make. It's a choice between your coach and your basketball operations guy or your star player.
Nine times out of ten, they'll choose the player over the coach.
Agreed. Completely
agreed.
And
that one time is Fred Hoiberg over Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. Imagine that. This isn't a Timberwolves podcast. We know that. We just wanted to give you guys an update.
But it can be a Timberwolves podcast from time to time.
That's true. So we'll keep some updates, keep our eyes on the Minnesota Timberwolves and what goes on there. But should be an interesting situation. We got to take a short break here on Locked On Bulls, but when we come back, we've got Bobby Portis on the show. So stay tuned for that. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Peck. Hit us up, 331-979-1369. That's our text and voicemail line. We want to hear from you. We're doing mailbag tomorrow. So jump on that. Drop us a voicemail or a text message. Be right back here on Locked On Bulls. Back in 60 seconds. Here on Locked On Bulls, you can hit us up 331-979-1369, our text and voicemail line. We've got Bobby Portis for you in just a second, but before we do that, a shout out to Dean's Dugout. Dean's Dugout, 2035 South Washington Street in Naperville, Illinois. They were a great sponsor of ours for the Bowling with Bobby Portis event, and they're holding their own event as well, a signing and autograph session with White Sox outfielder Daniel Palka. That's Monday, October 1st, 2018, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Tickets are $25. There's only 150 of those, and they're selling quick. So if you want to meet young outfielder Daniel Palka of the Chicago White Sox, they're doing that Monday, October 1st. You can get tickets at deansdugout.com or head to their store, 2035 South Washington Street in Naperville, Illinois. Should be a great time. They always get great athletes to come in there and do autograph sessions. So check out their store as well. They've got a ton of memorabilia in there, all Chicago sports related and all of the teams, the four major sports around the country. They've got everything you need. That's Dean's Dugout, 2035 South Washington Street, Naperville, Illinois. Without further ado, here is Bobby Portis from Saturday's event.
One more hand for Jordan and Bobby, everybody, for blowing some slightly respectable and very respectable games on the lanes. So first question, Bobby, were you expecting a little bit more competition?
Yes, I actually was.
Not cool.
I'm thinking I'm going to come into a game where, you know, it's going to be a heated match, but I kind of smoked Jordan a little bit, man. So it was fun.
Nobody told me you were bringing your own ball.
I had to, man. I can bowl with theirs.
I don't think that was against the rules at all.
That's true.
Why didn't you bring yours?
That is very true. I don't have a bowling ball.
The one thing that I expected you to bring that you didn't was one of those little like grocery bags that, you know, you do this.
Uh-huh.
You do this with your bowling ball.
Yeah.
Do you have one of those? Do you use one of those?
No, I have one of those. I might have to get one though now after that.
I mean, you look ridiculous when you do it, but yeah. So what does it do? Is it just like grease up the ball or like clean it up or?
I don't put my fingers in the bowling ball. I just kind of cuff it a little bit.
You basically just palm it like it's a basketball
and just toss it. Yeah. So, like, with me...
I don't think he can do that, I think.
No, his hands are too small.
Not a chance.
Yeah, his hands are too small, for sure.
All right, we got to ask you about this shirt you're wearing. Yeah. The Bobby Portis Crazy Eyes t-shirt. This logo is awesome.
Yeah.
I love how you kind of have just totally embraced that nickname of Bobby Crazy Eyes Portis.
Yeah.
I think it kind of speaks to the fact that you've sort of made your name as one of those grinders, hustle guys, running up and down the floor, 110% on every play.
Yeah.
What is it about you and some of those other guys in the league that just separate yourselves? Is like every play of this 48-minute basketball game, I'm in Crazy Eyes mode.
Because my whole life I had to work for everything I had to get to this point. And it never stopped. When I got to this level, I still had to wait my turn, playing behind Joe Kim, Taj, Powell, guys like that. That really made me grind even harder. And, my whole life when I played basketball, people always say my eyes be real big and real bugged. They probably big right now. But, that's just what it is. And when I got here, a couple fans were tweeting like crazy eyes, this and that. They kind of was joking with it a little bit. But now, I kind of took it and ran with it, and, now it's a good thing.
Well, it's awesome that you embraced
Some in-game pictures, freeze frames, were like, oh, those eyes are crazy eyes,
for sure.
So let's roll it back. The first time you get into the league, obviously you just named off Joakim Noah, Taj Gibson, two beloved Bulls that a lot of people here still are absolutely in love with. What did you learn from those guys in the first year, first 2 years, and even maybe some guys like Robin Lopez who are currently on the roster? Who is the best mentor, I would say, for you coming in the league?
All three are great mentors. I can't just pick one. But, with me coming to the league, a 20-year-old kid, never been outside of Arkansas like that, moving to a big city like Chicago on my own, it's pretty hard. It was pretty hard, first off. But, Joe Kim and Taj really had my back a lot. I wasn't playing my first, 13, 14 games of the season, and that's kind of frustrating as a 20-year-old coming from college, being the best player on your team. And I had to really lock in and, learn how to, have patience. And they just taught me, to always stay ready. In the league, things happen. People get hurt. People get traded. And, everybody gets their opportunity at one point. And they just told me to stay ready. And, I kind of stuck with that. And, that really helped.
Looking ahead to this upcoming season, you guys got your first preseason game later this month. There's a lot of excitement around this Bulls team as you guys are entering year two of a rebuild. Obviously, keeping Zach LaVine on that four-year deal and then adding Jabari Parker into the mix. Adding two rookies, Wendell Carter Jr. and Chandler Hutchison, that people are really excited about. It seems like you have embraced your role as, and it's something that the Bulls front office speaks to all the time, as far as who are the young pieces of this core that we really believe in. Your name is always on that list, and it might not be in the starting role that every NBA player wants to have, but you've set a goal for yourself. You want to be sixth man of the year this season. How do you feel that will go into being a member of a team, and how do you plan to make that happen? Because you had a huge step last season, upping your stats across the board.
Yeah, as a basketball player, obviously everybody wants to be a starter. But, with me, when you want to embrace being a good teammate, embrace winning, roles have to be in place. And I think the biggest thing this year that's big for me is coming into the season, I know what my role is now. So that makes it easier on me to go out there and work on that role, be in that role, and be a star in that role. Whether as going into my first 3 years, I didn't know my niche in the league. I didn't know what I had to do to, help the basketball team. But now, with me coming in, I know that, Coach Hoiberg wants me to score off the bench. I know he wants me to rebound at a high level, and just play basketball the right way. So, it's easier for me this year. And, going into the season, I'm really not pressed on, stats or anything. I just want us to be the best basketball team possible. And, if we can go in together and, play as one collective unit, then I feel like we'll have a great season.
So last year, between the main core, once the Bulls decided to rebuild, the three guys, Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, and Chris Dunn, coming over, only playing 12 games together, and you guys only got to play a handful of games. What does it say about this young core and maybe some of the NBA writers and the national people that are kind of writing this Bulls team off this season? What do you guys feel you guys can do, and how good do you guys believe you guys can be this year?
I feel like, man, we're going to be really good. You look back to last year, you know, obviously everybody doesn't like to talk about, you know, the past. But with me, I do. Looking back to last year, like you said, guys hurt every other week. Somebody we knew was hurt. We never had our full team the entire year. So we never really got a chance to really gel as one cohesive unit. And, you know, now we're in the lab together. We started Tuesday. Everybody was here. We were working out together, grinding together, trying to build that camaraderie, that chemistry. And, you know, we don't care about people writing us off. It's all about us sticking together and, you know, trying to be, you know, it's that underdog team because, you know, there's always a surprise team. I feel like last year the Pacers were the surprise team of the East.
Sure,
you know, maybe they can be us this year.
Absolutely. So I got to ask, how many times did you see Lauri Markkanen this summer? And when he showed up on Tuesday, what did you say when you saw the change in difference as far as physically goes?
Yeah, you know, I've been around all summer. So, you know, with me, when you're around somebody each and every day, it's kind of hard to tell. Just like if I'm around my little brothers and they're getting taller, I can't never tell. So, you know, with him, you know, he's obviously a great basketball player, a hell of a basketball player. And, you know, really the only thing he needed was to do was add strength. I feel like he did that this summer, and, you know, that's going to take his game to another level.
You guys aren't doing the long-standing Thanksgiving road trip that usually used to coincide with the circus coming to United Center. Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
That's not happening this year. You got a gross road trip later in the schedule. I think it's around January or so. But when you guys are traveling, obviously you've been in the league for a few years now. Are there certain cities that you really look forward to playing in, either because of the energy at the stadium or because of, all right, we get to the city a day early, and I have, like, my favorite hotspots of where I like to go, a place to go grab a meal or something cool to check out. Outside, like, when you're on the road, where are your favorite cities to be?
I like L.A. You know, if you're in Chicago, say it's November, like we always go to L.A. in November or February. We always go then, and you know, it's always good to, you know, escape the cold a little bit and feel some warm weather. But to play in a basketball arena, I like to play in Boston TD Garden. You know, their fans bring it; they always boo you, and you know, I just like the, you know, it's the competitiveness they have there.
Taking a little note out of Joakim Noah's, what's so good about Cleveland? Loves getting booed.
Yeah.
Been booed his entire life. Okay, I've got to ask you one question here. So you wore a headband in college.
Yeah.
I'm a big proponent of the headband. I love it. Will you be bringing that back this season at any point in your NBA career?
I don't know, man. When I first got to the Bulls, you know, as a rookie, it's kind of hard
to
do.
They have a no headband rule, right?
Yeah, they had
it. Well, they did.
Until my second year, Rondo came.
Rondo comes along, and all of a sudden, that rule goes away.
And actually wore it two games, but I didn't feel like I did in college with it. So I kind of just took it out and just grew my hair a little bit, and I went from there.
Who has the best, speaking of headbands, who has the best off-the-court style on this team right now? NBA players and their, you know, their various levels of swag, making their entrances into the arena on a nightly basis. I don't know what the heck Russell Westbrook is wearing 90% of the time. It's ridiculous. Okay, so you agree. Who do you think on your team has the most style?
You know, my team is pretty well-dressed. We don't really wear too much. We don't really wear anything too drastic. But I feel like six or seven of my guys, Denzel Valentine, Cameron Payne, Chris Dunn, Antonio Blakeney, myself, I feel like we all are well-dressed.
I was going to say, do you remember the tweet a couple years ago when somebody tweeted at Denzel and said, what are those, to his shoes? And they were Balenciagas.
And I think I quoted it.
You
too.
Did.
I think I quoted
it. Speaking of Twitter, though, do you realize that among all of this whole emoji game that the NBA players play now in modern NBA, you were the one to start that.
Yeah.
You would always tweet the I's with the Z's.
Yeah.
And every time people would tweet at you your rookie year, free Bobby Portis, you'd always just put the little I's and the Z's. So I think here on this podcast, we need to establish, and even on Twitter, that you're the first person to go out there and push the emojis.
Yeah.
Because everybody else is getting credit for that, and you're not getting any credit for it.
I don't really get credit for anything I really do. So I don't really care about credit about that. Anything I do really goes unnoticed, but I don't really care about that, really.
You've been awesome on social media, though, with fans interacting with people, going back and forth even with us at times.
Yep.
What's your favorite social media platform to interact with other NBA players or some of your friends, and why do you choose that?
I like Instagram, for once, because you get to post a picture, you get to comment on it. You know, you get to say funny things, and you know, everything that you want to say on Instagram isn't this scene. Like, you can go comment on somebody's picture, nobody knows, you know. And if you comment on Twitter, it just blows up crazy.
So speaking of comments on Instagram, did you notice that little, not altercation, but a little bit of heat between your two former teammates, Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade, earlier this summer?
That was kind of awkward.
There was a fairly interesting photo of Wade's wife, Gab Union. Jimmy had a very interested comment about how fine she was looking in that picture. Whose side do you take? Do you think it was fair game?
I'm in the middle, man.
Comments about Wade's wife.
I'm in the middle. I'm in the middle, man. I'm not taking no sides. I'm in the middle. I'm in the middle. Even keel.
Well, and I get. Oh, what's past? Former teammates, not current teammates. Yeah. We appreciate you guys. You coming by and being generous with your time. Before we end this Q&A, real quick, I'm going to put you on the spot. Fill in the blank.
Okay.
The Chicago Bulls are going to win blank games this season.
Don't put me on the spot. We're going to win as many games as we can, and we're going to make the playoffs.
We're making the playoffs. We get that commitment. Okay.
Making the playoffs.
Not a firm win total, but we're making the playoffs.
Making playoffs.
Yes, sixth man of the year.
That's the goal.
Sixth man of the year and a playoff spot. Bobby, thanks for hanging out with us, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Got to thank Bobby Portis for jumping on with us again. Remember, I think he, as much as we are, excited to see what he can do this season. So excited for that. Glad he was able to hop on. And once again, everybody who came out to support us at King's Dining and Entertainment on Saturday. It was a great event. It was an awesome time. And we were appreciative of everybody that decided to show up and hung out with us. And it seemed like Bobby had a wonderful time as well. Hit us up on social media at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck on Twitter. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Hit us up there. We're doing mailbag tomorrow. That's tomorrow, Wednesday, so get your mailbag questions in before then. 331-979-1369. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.